It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than finding out you've been catfished on the old Dr. Phil show. That is a bad day. That is that you find that out. That's the type of day that puts that look on Joe's face, that right there. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and click live broadcast. Or you can watch us, as a lot of people do when they do it live, on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. We'll be monitoring the old Den Pen. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe. And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip. On the show, it's countdown season. Countdown season, kids. My favorite time of the year. We do our annual Valentine's Day Love Fail Countdown. And I was telling Pip on the little pre-show, I feel good. I feel victory. I'm flying in V formation. I feel good. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I could lose, but I feel good. And I'm coming for Camouflage Joe, and I'm coming for low titty Pip. I'm coming for you both.
I feel good about my stories, but I'm just really still at this moment perplexed about what order to put them in.
Well, you have a little bit of time to figure it out. Also, yeah. A woman got catfished by scammers posing as rock royalty. Joe touched on this last week, but I wanted to save it for this week because it is a nice segue from love fails into scamming scammers. It fits nicely in between. That is right there. That's the sweet spot. And I have a feeling we might be a little cold in calculating at this poor woman's behalf. But sometimes you got to go, what the fuck, lady? And we'll do our own version of scamming scammers. So, good stuff. Good stuff to do. I guess the first thing we'll talk about was the halftime show. So this would be a good time for, or the Super Bowl, I should say. But we'll start with the halftime show. This would be a good time for Pip to think about putting her shows, her stories in order, because she told me she has no life but doesn't watch the Super Bowl. There's like literally nothing to do because we're in New York and there's nothing to do, but Pip can't be bothered, watching the Super Bowl thinking we might talk about this stuff. So
I can't sit through a whole game just for the game is longer than our show. I couldn't.
Not always. We do go long. But our show is definitely more entertaining than this Super Bowl. What are you going to do? This Super Bowl was like from the years when I grew up, and it was just a blowout. We've had some good Super Bowls lately. This was not that. Now, we're going to start with the halftime show.
You would think it would have been going in, basically, if he had the scores in the 30s on either side.
Joe, you can't live. They always say, what do you think they're going to say? This is going to be a load of shit. We recommend turning to the Puppy Bowl. No, they always tell you it's going to be a good game. It's going to be close. They're all in it together. And now that you mention with
as good as those teams were, you would think, you
know. Joe, it's the fucking Super Bowl. You would think so every year, but it's not that way. And nobody predicted 31-9, but we were due for a bad game, and it was a bad game. On a completely different side note, and I've been thinking about this for quite some time. Enough with these betting sites. We are inundated with this shit. We get it. People like to lose money in new and creative ways. I get it. You could bet on what type of cap Joe was going to wear tonight. That's the ridiculousness of some of these bets. You could bet on how many times Pip is going to mention the cats tonight. That's how ridiculous some of these sports bets are. Enough. Now that there's Now that there's legal betting all over the place, they just inundate it with you. It's like on all the sports talk shows, all the commercials. It's just enough. But that's neither here nor there. So if you listen to this show, and God knows we've been doing it long enough, Joe and I are older than most. But where Joe and I are usually simpatico. Because Joe, when we have these cultural wars, Joe tends to act like he's 70, and I tend to act like I'm 25. But when it comes to the culture wars on the Super Bowl, historically, both Joe and I are very tolerant of the kids' music. We understand it's not about seeing the rock stars that we grew up with, because a lot of those guys are dead, and the demographic that the Super Bowl is targeting is not targeting old fucks like us. We get it.
Right. As much as I step it in the suggestion box, Blue Oyster Cult is not playing the halftime show.
It's funny you said that, because Blue Oyster Cult was the band that was in my head right before he said that. But we get it.
That's funny.
So Joe and I think we look at these things. We understand we're not going to know all the songs. We look at these things from an entertainment value, a spectacle, understanding that it's a show and it's not for us. And Joe and I, when a lot of our peers as far as age group tend to shit on the show, halftime show, because that's what they do. That's their reflex. Why can't you play the Rolling Stones? Why can't Bruce Springsteen? Yes, why can't that lovely boy Bruce Springsteen? Why can't Bruce Springsteen play the halftime show every year? Joe and I get it. So usually when our Facebook feeds are filled with everybody bitching about the halftime show, whether it be Lady Gaga or Bruno Mars or Beyonce, Joe and I are usually the voices for the young, the kids.
Well, it depends. Like Lady Gaga was stupendous. You go in wanting to goof on it. But it's like, it was, I've never seen anything like that before. It was absolutely amazing. So it's not like I'm some guy that dated, you know. When you see, amazing halftime show, there's really nothing you could say.
Well, I mean, yeah, but still people do bitch about it.
Oh, yeah, of course. I was going to say.
That's what I'm saying. However, on this particular halftime show, Joe and I joined the olds. We were as crotchety as most of our peers. Joe and I were not fans of The Weeknd's halftime show. Now, I don't know a ton of his songs. I got to be honest with that. I don't. But that's okay. It's never stopped me before. There was a point where he was like, it looked like he was in a hallway with these like lights, like, you know, bright lights. It if I was like susceptible to that shit, it would cause me to get vertigo or something. You know what I'm talking about, Joe?
Yeah.
And the thing that everybody was goofing on, I guess they were doing it because of COVID, maybe because he's had face work, The Weeknd's had face work done, but they're prancing around in jock straps. He's got all these dancers wearing jock straps, not on their crotch, that would have been fine, on their face. Jock straps on their face. I put up there. I go, what is this? Costumes by Fauci? What the hell is it? Like, I don't understand. It was completely lost on me. And a lot of people. I mean, some people liked it. Now, the good thing you say about The Weeknd was he didn't do any of the stunt casting. We've seen a lot of these halftime shows. Well, they're bringing other celebrities, other musicians to help them get through it.
I was going to say that because usually when you're watching, and you're like, yeah. And then somebody else comes in and goes, oh, that's cool, all right. But no, it was none of that.
Which is fun. Like, I'll give him credit because he did the whole thing himself. I mean, that as far as an artist, you give him credit for that. But it seemed long. It was a long weekend and not the type that you enjoy. You know what? It was the type of long weekend. You know, it's like a holiday weekend, but your friend needs you to pick them up from the airport and then help them move. That's what type of long weekend it was. And they don't even spring for beer.
After that, you get home and then your wife tells you got to go to your in-laws and help them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's my day up. I don't care. You promised. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. And this whole time, nobody's springing for beer or pizza. It's just a never-ending weekend of chores. That's what this halftime show was. It was a never-ending
week. When you go to work after the vacation, you're like, all right, I'm here to unwind.
Yeah, I'm here to unwind. And listen, I get it. Like I said, it wasn't geared for us. I just don't know who that was geared for. And he spent like $7 million on top of the budget. He spent his own $7 million for that show. I mean, kudos to him. But for what? For what? I don't know.
The jockstrap.
I don't think. You would figure, as an entertainer, you figure you lay out 7 G's and you make your money back on bringing a new audience in. But I don't think he brought in anybody new.
He didn't get me. I'll tell you that. And there was at one point, he's got these background singers and they're dressed like they're like a church gospel choir. It reminded me. I don't know if you guys remember this video, the MC Hammer video for the song "Pray." I don't know if you guys remember that. I mean, I know you guys weren't into MC Hammer back in the day, but I mean, Hammer.
I remember it.
Yeah, it seemed like if he would have done a tribute to MC Hammer at that point, I would have gone, all right, that's cool. He's covering Hammer. And he's not even doing one of the hit songs. But no, he just had people in gospel wear, and then he's got people running around with I don't know, jocks.
It was unremarkable. Bruno Mars did it, right?
Bruno Mars did it. Right? Bruno Mars did it twice, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of Bruno Mars music. I maybe know two songs. However, even though I'm not a fan, and I kind of like the two songs, it was a great halftime show, man. It was really cool, So you walk away and go, I'm not a big fan, it's cool, But this, it was just bland. It really was just bland.
I don't know who they get. I don't know who they need to get for this thing. Because a lot of they obviously want to go with pop stars, and that's fine. But a lot of these people are one-hit wonders now. I guess you could, maybe you could get Drake. Maybe bring, Drake's got a lot of hits. He seems to be, and maybe do Drake with DJ Khaled, because they got a song together. And Justin Bieber is the star of that video. Maybe do something like that. I don't know. I don't know where they're gonna go. I get that they're not playing. They're not bringing back my bands like AC/DC. Hey, Brian Johnson's back in the band. Let's have AC/DC do the halftime show. No, it's you can't have AC/DC do the halftime show. And I'll tell you why. We saw AC/DC live in concert, and they take 5 minutes in between each song, and it's a halftime show. There's no time for that. You got to keep it moving.
Yeah, you know what though. Maybe to be the devil's advocate, maybe due to the COVID restrictions, he couldn't put on a big production.
That was huge. The production was huge. He was all over the stadium. It wasn't.
But with other celebrities and stuff like that.
He doesn't have to do that.
It was really bland.
You know what it was like. And it also seemed like I don't know all his songs. I don't know a lot of his songs, but it seemed like he was just like. I know they do medleys, but it seemed like really quick versions. Like, he'd hit a line or two of each song, and then he's on to the next. Now, I realize some of these songs have words you can't say at the halftime show. I understand that. I don't know. Whatever. So that was the first time Joe and I agreed that we did not like...
Yeah, because there's no more compound parties, and at a Super Bowl compound party... I'd be sitting there, and it would start, and then it would start, tweeting stuff and like that. And, a couple of the girls, you're an asshole. This is really good, But sometimes I'm like, it really is. It is good. But it was just bland from beginning to end, from first note to last note.
It, as I put it on Facebook, it was the 2020 of halftime shows. But.
Yeah.
So then we go to the commercials, and now I knew Budweiser. Although they did have commercials, Budweiser put a lot of the $5.5 million that it cost for a commercial. They donated that to COVID awareness. I think Pepsi did something like that too. And usually Pepsi and Budweiser have some of the better commercials. So they did. It's $5.5 million, so that's cool that they did that. But the commercials are never what the commercials should be. We always build up these commercials, and there's a couple that stand out. A couple things I noticed. Apparently, Donald Trump did finish the wall, because this is the first year I can remember in the past several where we did not have our Mexican avocado commercial. I was a little disappointed by that. Every year we get the Mexican avocado commercial. There's no Mexicans. There's no avocados. I don't know what the fuck happened. I was a little disappointed. I think people of our generation, and we have a couple different, we're about in the same generation. I think we were all looking forward to the Wayne's World commercial, because we have a soft spot for that. Gotta say, a little disappointing. I mean, it was cool that they threw Cardi B in there. I just felt like it was a waste. It's like you're going to bring back Wayne's World. It wasn't a memorable commercial. Little disappointing.
I did like that they wore the green dresses.
Oh, so you did see the commercial. You saw that.
I looked. Yeah, I went to YouTube and saw some of the commercials.
What, Joe?
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Then there was this Oatly commercial, which is oat milk. All right, a couple things. You're paying $5.5 million for a 30-second spot for a commercial on the Super Bowl. Best case scenario, is the Super Bowl really the demographic that's going to go for oat milk? Is that I mean, you got a bunch of people like eating wings and shoving down nachos down their face and guzzling beer or wine, all sorts of fried fattening food. Is somebody going to go, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to get some of the oat milk? Okay.
Yeah, that's not a waste of time. That's not your demo.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm
thinking. Yeah.
So then what they do is they have the CEO singing badly, like I would sing, in like a field. I think it was like of oats. So it was just like a terrible commercial, and I just saw the commercial. I go, you know who the winner is? Almond milk. Almond milk comes out ahead after this oat milk commercial.
And the poor oat milk people end up looking like they're doing the real public access. You know how they have the owner do their own acting, and they're so wooden.
Supposedly they were giving out, or they had on their website, you know, I hated the Oatly commercial. They were giving those away, and everybody took them. But again, why are you going to spend $5.5 million to do something that you know sucks? You know, if you have to do, you know what? Here's what you do. Honestly, you want to do the oat milk commercial, right? You get somebody hot, like a hot star that we used to know. Who is the brunette that used to star in the Megan Fox? Is that her name? Megan Fox.
Yeah.
You get a has-been who still looks like a piece of ass Megan Fox, and you have her pouring oat milk all over her, looking all sexy, and then you have the CEO going, oat milk, it's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Ah, whatever. Whatever you want to do. Boom. There. You know what I'm going to go? I'm going to go, you know what? I never thought of oat milk before, but suddenly I'm thirsty. That looks like a thirst trap. That's what you do. If you're going to bring your Fakakta Oatly oat milk commercial to the Super Bowl, give us a hot chick. Listen, put a hot guy on there too. Cover them both. People that we know that we haven't seen that you could get cheap. Megan Fox ain't doing shit now. Get Megan Fox. Get a Transformer. Get Bumblebee. Do something with your oat milk. It was god-awful.
You have a really hot girl and somebody's pouring oat milk down her in the tub.
Yeah.
Yes. Oat milk over breasts. So you're like, hey, milk. Ooh,
yeah.
You know, oat milk. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it was a missed opportunity. Also, you know, Matthew McConaughey, he just came out with this book and he was promoting it on all these shows. And he was talking about like how for like about 20 months he just disappeared because he wouldn't do these rom-coms anymore. He didn't want to do them anymore. He wanted to be cast in different roles. And he was just getting all these rom-coms. So everybody forgot about him. Then he started getting the roles he wanted to get. All right, that's a cool story. He took a chance on himself. I respect that. But then don't be doing every Fakakta commercial. The last couple of years, it was the creepy Lincoln commercials. Now it's Doritos.
Oh, God, were those creepy. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was like something Joe in his 20s would drive around. Yeah, get my Lincoln. Yeah, like if Joe had a Lincoln, that would be Joe. But now he's doing like Doritos 3Ds. You know what? You said no to major motion pictures. You could say no to a goddamn commercial. What is wrong with you? Now I can't take you seriously again. Now you're a joke again.
Why doesn't he do commercials in Japan like everybody else with any sense?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing, is that there would be, like, major motion picture stars that you'd never think you'd see on a commercial, and they do the commercials in Japan and make major bucks.
I guess, like, I didn't see it when it aired live. I probably walked out of the room, but I saw parts of it. I guess Bruce Springsteen did a Jeep commercial, and he never does commercials, I guess. And it was like, you know, now we have to be united or something. So I guess like all the Trumpsters got triggered. So now they're all anti-Bruce or something. I mean, again, the people that said fuck your feelings got triggered by a Jeep commercial. Are you kidding me? Is Bruce Springsteen an old white guy? Did you really think he was just like you? Did you? No, motherfucker, you're not playing for 3+ hours in a stadium. He's nothing like you. Just like Donald Trump is nothing like you. Just like John Bon Jovi's nothing like you. At least John Bon Jovi builds, you know, homes and shit, so that's kind of cool. But we don't build homes either. But these people are like, oh, I can't believe Bruce is doing this. He's dividing us with his Jeep commercial. No, he's taking a paycheck. You know he's a left-winger. You're getting triggered. Stop it. Stop it, you pussies, you. Fuck your feelings. I believe you know what that used to mean, right? Ugh!
But I say, Chief, instead of spending millions of dollars on that commercial, they should spend millions of dollars at building a better product. Jeeps are built like shit.
Are they?
Quality is awful. It's always coming in J.D. Powers, always coming in dead last in quality and stuff like that. Plus, from what I saw in the video, Bruce is driving around. There's no top on the Jeep. It's winter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Put your top up, stupid. Yes,
I saw that. I saw, like, he's a goddamn cowboy. He's from New Jersey. I mean, I know he has a song, Nebraska, but stop it. He's a Jersey guy. Have him hanging out on the boardwalk and then walk to his park Jeep. That's, I mean, stop it. But I guess people got, I guess Bruce Springsteen is a hero to these morons. Enough.
One of the late night guys was saying that what's he doing driving around in a Jeep with the top down in the middle of winter?
That's what George
said. 71 years old.
You know, as much as I'm freezing my balls off.
I don't know. I guess it's a big deal that he did the Jeep commercial, and now the Trumpsters are fucking triggered. Of course they are, because like I've been saying for 4+ years, they're the biggest pussies going. I know, because I regularly trigger them during my shows. Enough. Who the fuck cares about his politics? Either you like the music or you don't. I've never been a Bruce fan. That's okay. I don't give a shit what he does. You know, listen, Joe Perry supposedly is a Trumpster. Steven Tyler, they were playing Aerosmith songs at Trump rallies. Steven Tyler said, nay, nay. Okay. I didn't get involved in that feud. None of my business. You know,
I don't think he invited you.
What?
I don't think Steve Perry and Joe Perry and Steven Tyler said, we need to bring Davin in on this.
Well, you know, that's a misstep by them. That's good you pointed that out. Clearly, like many problems, I could have solved it for them. But whatever.
Joey Kramer called and said, look, can you get me back into the band?
Can I just tell you how many voicemails I have from Joey Kramer? No, Joey, I'm not getting involved. Enough. You guys work it out.
By the way, Tom is in the chat.
Hello,
he said,
Tom.
That Matthew McConaughey, the reason he was so creepy in those ads is because he's got the acting range of a corpse.
Now, wait a second. I've seen some very talented zombie movies. So I don't know what that means. Yeah, I mean, I've never been bothered by Matthew McConaughey. He's fine. But I just remember like a couple months ago he was making the rounds on all the talk shows, like, you know, I was getting all these rom-com things. I wanted to do serious parts. Okay, fine. But don't let me see you in a fucking 3D Dorito commercial. It's not even Cool Ranch or like the regular Doritos. It's Doritos 3D. What is there? Some guy with the 3D printer?
Even in the Lincoln commercials, he's in the middle of the woods, he gets in, he starts mumbling shit, he's like the guy in the Jeep, you know?
Like, you see that's the video, that's the commercial I want to see. Bruce and Matthew McConaughey driving around mumbling shit to each other. That's the
yeah, they pull alongside, they talk like cops. Yeah.
And then you see one of them hand the other one Grey Poupon. Now, there you go. There's the commercial. Oh, one's in a Jeep, one's in a Lincoln, one hands the other one Grey Poupon. Boom! We got a $15 million commercial right there. There's your money shot, yeah. Kids.
And the commercial's not even about Grey Poupon. And nobody knows what the fuck it's about because nobody can understand either of them.
Apparently, there was It was like a Toyota or a Honda. I think it was Toyota. I didn't, like a commercial that had nothing to do with their cars, but it was like very heartwarming about this like Olympian who got like adopted. Like she was like a swimmer. She's like handicapped. I don't know if she has arms and legs, but she's won all these gold medals. I don't know. Yeah, you're looking at me. I don't even know. But apparently they.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're gonna. She's in Russia. They're gonna chop her legs off. Then a fucking Prius rolls up. What the fuck?
Then a Prius rolls up.
Get in the Jeep.
You just,
I don't know what the fuck's going on. What about you, Matthew? Yeah. Well, you guys are starting to make fucking sense now. It's more sense than this fucking Toyota commercial.
Yeah. They do these commercials and they want to say statements, which is fine. You know what my favorite statement commercial was of all time? Coca-Cola. I wish the world could like all smile. They're all singing and they're drinking a Coca-Cola. That's some good shit. Now the one commercial, or I don't know if the commercial that I felt used their celebrities the best was the Cheetos commercial, because they had Mila Kunis, I think that's how you say her name, I don't know, Ashton Kutcher, and Shaggy. And I thought that was a good use, because you know, if you ever watch that 70s show, and they dated for a while, Ashton and Mila dated for a while, and then you have Shaggy, they're doing like a version for the commercial of It Wasn't
Me. They're married.
Me. What? Are they married?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not with Demi anymore?
No, he's married to Mila.
All right, fuck you. I'm not reading page 6. Don't judge me. Look at you. I'm sorry I'm not reading Star Magazine. Fuck you both. I don't care.
Really?
I'm a man, damn it. Or reasonably close to being one.
by the way, this just is Tommy Lee and Heather Locklear. No more.
Thank you. How about Valerie Bertinelli and Eddie Van Halen? Are they still an item?
No, not a widow. Brad, not a widow either. They got divorced.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, I have bad news. Brad and Angelina.
No more?
No more.
How about A-Rod and J-Lo? Are they still together?
I don't know.
There's been rumors, hasn't there? All right.
There's been rumors that he cheated.
So, yeah, I enjoyed the... did you guys see the Cheetos commercial?
No.
I think that, look up the Cheetos commercials on the YouTubes, kids. I think that was good. And it was nice to see Shaggy again. I think Shaggy was, I think he was a Marine. I think he was the one that was a Marine back in the day. I think he served in...
Reggae?
No, not that Shaggy, no. What, was it me? Well, I'm not going to sing the song. I have some of his stuff. He's good. I think he was in Desert Storm, if I am correct.
Oh, that's Shaggy.
Yes, that's Shaggy, not the one.
The Rockies.
No, not that Shaggy.
No, not that
Shaggy.
All right. You know, I can't discuss anything.
Scooby Snacks.
All right. Fucking assholes. All right, Joe. So what's going on with you?
I was down at Uncle Vinny's this past week, and 23 years of doing stand-up, I posted it on Facebook. There was a table of these three guys. And they're 20s, early 20s. And I go, what are you guys drinking? And they're all drinking White Claw. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I go, good.
Now, wait, hold on. What's White Claw? Is that one of the seltzers?
Yeah, it's a seltzer.
Now, so, like, are the seltzers not manly? I don't know the rules.
No, they're not.
Oh, well, I have some you know what, Joe? I hate to tell you, I have some seltzers in my fridge, and they're quite delicious. I don't know what I don't have any White Claws, but you know what? I got to tell you, I'm sitting in the backyard. I got the fire pit going, got the movie going. A nice little seltzer's good. Why is a seltzer any worse than a hard lemonade?
It's like in the old days the beer version of Zima.
No,
right?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it is.
You know what these are? These are drinks that you plied women with to get pussy before Me Too. So I'm sorry if you guys don't like this shit, because this is what we fed women to get laid. I
apologize. Yeah, but when you're hanging out, you and your buds are hanging out, and there's no chicks, you're not drinking White Claw.
Right.
You don't know how they
swing. Tom says that White Claw is the Post Malone of alcohol.
What? Hey, he did a halftime show. Post Malone was on a halftime show. So, I have like some different, like I had Truly, which was like a seltzer, or maybe those were hard lemonades. But then I have like a seltzer in my fridge, you know, different flavors, coconut, mango. I got to tell you, I'm in my backyard. I'm not looking to impress people. I understand it's a little different at the comedy show. I understand they don't realize there's an asshole 6 feet away with a microphone who's looking to pounce. That's their bad. I understand that. So I'll give you. They know now. I'll give you that. They should know better that there's a man who's getting paid barely enough to cover tolls to rip his fangs into them. I understand that. But in my own backyard, there's nothing wrong with a hard seltzer, my friends. Nothing wrong.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm goofing on him about drinking White Claw, and the guy actually had a tattoo of the White Claw logo on his leg.
All right, hold on.
You got it.
Wait a minute. Wow. First of all, well, there's a lot to dissect there. On his leg, was he wearing shorts?
No, he pulled up the pants leg.
Why did he pull up his pant leg?
Because that's where the tattoo was.
Did you ask to see the tattoo?
No, he was flirting with Joe.
He goes, yeah, I have a tattoo of it on my leg. And I'm like, really? And he goes, I'll show you. So he pulls up his leg, and he's got it on there. And I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking? I go, let me tell you something. I go, when you get to be a grandfather, you're going to sit there with your grandson. And you're going to tell him the story. You're going to show him the tattoo. And your grandson is going to look at you with awe and wonder and go, what the fuck were you thinking?
You know, the appropriate spot for the White Claw tattoo, because it's a crab, right? Is it a crab?
Like a little oceany thing and a claw or something like that.
Yeah, like the claw. That's what you put on the tram stamp. So it looks like the claw is reaching out of your asshole. That's what you do. Like if you put anything in there, you're gonna get your cock snapped. That's where the White Claw. That's where that goes. I've given this a lot of thought. Apparently,
yeah.
I would posit that if he has a White Claw tattoo on his leg, he doesn't mind any backdoor action.
Yeah, that's a good point, Joe. Like I know you're trying to say he's a little light in his loafers, but you know what? Maybe they are. That's fine. Then you're the asshole.
No. But then the table next to him goes, we're drinking Miller Lite. That's better. I go, slow down. Not by much. It's pretty much a photo finish.
Tom says, because you pull your pants up when you're done in the rest area glory hole.
Well, you know what? I got to defer to Tom. I mean, nobody spent more time in rest areas than Trucker Tom. So I will defer to Tom when it comes to rest area protocol.
Right. And the thing about White Claw is basically what it is. It's like I guess vodka or something like that, and seltzer or something like that. And the thing about it is, it's essentially like I would get paid on Thursday, back in the day. And I would have $1.35 on me, and I'm at home, and I've got no money for beer. So I go, well, what do I got? I go, all right, I got a little bit of vodka and a little seltzer, and I would mix it in. And that's what you would have just to get through the night because you had no money. You don't go mass producing this shit.
They're making money with it. I mean, listen, like after the hard lemonades took off, they're making hard everything now. So, I mean, you know.
I love hard lemonade.
And you know what? A lot of times these things are they're lower in calories than if you're sitting back there drinking wine or firing off shots of Jack. You know what? Like I said, I get maybe a group of fellers might not want to sit in the front row of a comedy club with a Mr. Asshole on stage. I get how that's a tactical error. I understand that. But in the comfort of your own home, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. It's just not the manliest drink.
No, it's not.
I know that it's completely arbitrary standards, but for some reason, you know, like vodka drinks, seltzer drinks, that's more on the lady spectrum. I know that's sexist, but it feels that way.
Yeah, but let's be fair. You know what? Guys are not coming to a comedy club to get laid. Nobody's ever gone, hey, let's hear some jokes and get blowjobs. The only ones...
Guys go together to have some laughs. However, before I was a comic, if I was going on a date, a first date or something like that, I would go to the comic club.
Yes.
Perfect. You sit there, you laugh and stuff like that.
Fine. You know? I'm not disputing that. But when you're having guys' night out, you're not, and you want to get laid, you're not going to the comedy club. I know what guys' night out want to get laid is. You're going to the dance club, you're going to wait longer than the hot chicks to get your drink, and then you're going to march your ass to the wall and hold it up and look at the pretty girls you can't dance with. That's what guys' night out was back in the day. But we were drinking real drinks.
I remember we had our group of guys, you know, my buddy Mike and Ant, and we were called Drink Squad. And we would, you know, we'd head out, and God Almighty, I can imagine handing a white claw to any of the boys in Drink Squad.
No, I get it.
Smashed against your head.
You know, we used to go out, and we used to play darts, and you got like a pitcher of cheap beer. I get it.
Yeah. Right. It's cheap beer. Somebody's got some. Hey, let's do a round of shots. All right, you're paying because I got no money.
Well,
yeah, and then you do a round of shots. You know, you get a big pitcher of Bud or something like that. Yeah, you know. But a white claw.
Yeah, but you know what? The state of comedy, we really can't be. We can't really be insulting what people are drinking. We're just happy to have them. We got to pull back a little bit.
No. You're a comic, and there's a group of guys drinking White Claw. It is your duty as a comic to address that.
Well, I guess they learned their lesson, feller.
I tell you though, man, you were. All kidding aside, they were cool. And it was a good night, man. All the shows were fun. That, you know, everybody's having, you know, it's having a good time coming out and stuff like that. So all they were fun. But what I'm saying is, with everything, not only did I go, he's got the tattoo with a logo. I'm like, I got nothing.
That's a little much. No, I would have had plenty at that point. Like, I would not have started the White Claw conversation, but once he starts showing that tattoo, there's 20 minutes right there. I got shit to talk about.
That was really bizarre.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, it was a fun crowd because I was doing a lot of crowd work. I went over my, you know, I taped the set and I went over the set. A lot of stuff I didn't get to, man, because and it was fun. You know, it was a fun time on stage. But I ain't never seen, that was one for the books. Never seen that.
Well, you probably never will once word gets out, because nobody's going to come to your show drinking White Claw. Jesus Christ, you animal. So what's going on with you, Pip?
You know, not really much. I went through a kind of a stupid wormhole of trying to get a doctor's appointment. I had a doctor's appointment in January, and then it turned out that the day of the doctor's appointment, I found out that Mr. Helix had contact with somebody at work who turned out with COVID. And I found out that day, so I called the doctor's office and they said, I have secondhand contact and we haven't been tested yet. And they're like, thanks for calling, don't come in. So Mr. Helix got tested and he was negative. In the meantime, I called up for a test and the doctor's office said, yeah, you don't have any insurance. And I'm like, what's that now? Why did I just pay them? Yeah, I know. So then I called, and I have Cobra from my former employer. So I called up, and I'm like, what's all this about? I don't have insurance, to the company that I just paid. And they said, oh, yeah, your company changed insurance. Thanks for telling me. So I had to get that sorted out with them, and it actually worked out fine. But then I had to wait to get the card, and for some stupid reason they couldn't like email me a temporary card for a couple days. Weekend comes, I'm waiting for it. They go, oh, we'll mail it to you. I'm waiting for it to come in the mail. It doesn't come. I need a second one. Oh my God, all this nonsense. So anyway, then Mr. Helix comes up negative, but then with all the waiting, I waited like well over the 2 weeks that you're supposed to wait and see if you come down with anything, and I don't have any symptoms, no fever, nothing, and I've been completely quarantined in the house. I see no other humans but Mr. Helix. So I call up and I go, hey, I haven't got a COVID test, but yada yada, husband's fine, I've been alone, I'm fine. And they're like, no, you still have to go get a COVID test before you can come in our office. Like, motherfucker.
This country, hold on. This country's so fucked up. We got a pandemic. People have to get tested. You got to do this. You got to do that. All right, I'd like to get tested. Do you have insurance? Fuck you. Fuck you. I thought we want to find out who's got this. We're doing contact tracing. Well, we can't contact Tracy and test you if you don't have insurance. Fuck you. This system is so fucked up, especially when you think about since this started last March, how many people have lost jobs and now probably lost their insurance because we tie health insurance to jobs, which is the fucking stupidest thing in the world. Because I guess people, yeah. I guess people out of jobs don't get sick. That's a thing, apparently. What a, how fucking stupid. Aren't there places where you can get like a free test though?
You know, I'm sure that there are, but I just thought, well, how long could this take? I just need to get a card. Oh my God, forever. So I tomorrow I'm going to call and ask for an appointment.
Wait, why can't they?
A month later.
Why can't they just why can't they send you a card as like an attachment, like as a PDF to use temporarily?
I had asked for that.
It's a federal case. Our cards of the day program were issued, and it had the card, and they issued a new card numbers, which has been a federal case. But the put the wrong plan on the card, and we're working to get the card. We've been waiting a month and a half. We haven't got. I spoke to my the girl that does our health benefits. Like our benefit guy, who's very good, has been arguing with them back and forth on that. But the thing about it is, you gotta watch these guys. I had a stress test, a nuclear and physical, done at the beginning of January, and you had the test. I had it on for argument's sake, on a Monday, and then I had the consultation with the doctor on a Thursday. So I go into the office, and they screwed the doctor's names up. So I go in, and the girl starts hooking up the EKG sensors on me. And I go, why are we doing this? Well, we need to take your EKG. I go, I just had a test 3 days ago. Are you sure? I go, yeah, I was essentially a fucking experiment two doors down for about 4 hours. Yes, I had it. Oh, well, let me look. And I'm like, all right. She goes, oh, yeah, you did. They had the wrong doctor's name down in the beginning. I go, well, that's fantastic. So I was saying, I was telling my coworkers, I go, thank God I caught that, because they would have charged that. I got the bill. They charged me that. And I got to go back to them and saying I'm not paying it because you're billing me for something I didn't need. And I told the nurse no, and it was never done. So you got to watch all these people like a fucking hawk.
Yeah. I also needed to pick up a prescription because CVS is constantly on you. I get texts going, we refilled your prescription. I didn't ask you to.
Oh my
Why
God.
Do you keep doing this?
CVS is like that person you break up with, and that keeps on creeping and like sliding into your DMs, and they're always there. Like if you happen to go to the mall, which used to be a thing, if you happen to go to the mall, they're at the mall too. CVS doesn't. You can't break up with CVS. CVS, like, oh, we have a prescription filled. Would you like to pick it up? No, I don't want to pick it up.
Yeah, it's like I had a one night stand with CVS, and he keeps, you know, like calling me, going, you up? It's like, stop it.
But you know what?
When you go there and you're like, you know, you're sick and you got to pick something up. Oh, we're out. Do you want us to notify you? Yes. Put it in my eulogy, asshole.
Yeah, I know, because they will never have it. You know, Mr. Helix has nasal problems, and he uses this one particular type of nasal spray, and they always stock two of them. They have rows of shit, but they have two of these. So I go and I buy both because I know, I mean, I'm not shopping as often as normal now. So when I go to places, I get, you know, I stock up on things so I don't have to go to the store every 2 minutes. And so I'm like, oh, I'm grabbing all they have. And I feel bad for the son of a bitch who comes right after me looking for this thing, because it's like, you know, the Helix has got it all, but they only have two. Unbelievable.
All right. I think once we start getting to nasal medicine, that's a cue to take a break. That lets me know a segment has run its course. And that segment has definitely run its course.
We're talking about CVS and their downfall. That's
listen,
what it was.
Listen,
actually, I used to go to CVS.
Oh, no. How? What are we going to do, 20 minutes on fucking CVS?
No! We're done!
I thought we were done, but Joe's like, but wait, I have another CVS story. This better be one whopper of a story, mister.
No, it's never mind.
I scared it out of him, but he's like, but I do have a Rite Aid story I'd like to tell you.
Go on.
I was just going to take a break. If it's funny, I'll tell it, but now he's butthurt.
Well, yeah, if you issue the challenge, all right, you can tell the story, but it better be fucking funny. Nobody wants to talk.
Because I just said we were going to break. That's why I said that.
Probably a good story would have been nice then, but no, we take a break.
All right, Joe, the floor is yours. Tell us the scene.
No, I got to tell a story now.
All right, fine, good.
I forgot the story.
Good. Whatever. All right. Well. Next time we talk about drugstores, next time we go to Walgreens and Dwayne Reed, you kick us off with the CVS story. All right, Joe? All right. God damn. On the break, we're gonna take our first break because we got love fails to get to. We got a lot of shit to get to tonight. Not nearly as fun as drugstores, but stuff nonetheless. And Mr. Helix's nasal issues, which, you know, he's a rock star, so that's code for cocaine. But anyway, on the break, new music for... Yeah, I know, Pip, people are listening. She's wagging now, but yes. On the break, we have new music from Naxwell, DJ Combo, and Sanders 7 with Popcorn. That might also be code for cocaine. I don't know. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And Andrew Patterson with Normal People. And you can learn more about Andrew at fluttertone.com. Short break. Enjoy the music. When we